Hi, this is Farah Osbeck. Welcome back to Military Law and Life Matters, the podcast that arms you with knowledge so you don't become a victim of injustice. Happy to be back again. Yeah, another week, another Tuesday morning that this is coming out. And very happy to share some more cases with you from the board for the review of the reading rooms for the services. Again, I'm just going over some cases that have been decided by the Discharge Review Board for all the services, kind of explaining to you, the facts of the case, the outcome of the case, whether the person's discharge was upgraded and why I think it was or wasn't. So yeah, that's what I'm doing right now. And this is a really interesting case I want to talk about. It's a case where this Army soldier, a female Army soldier, served quite a bit. She served 3.5 years and she was then discharged. And what she was discharged for, it was use of marijuana. And how they found out, they did a random urinalysis right when the military, just the algorithm that your social comes up and you can get a urinalysis randomly and you have to report to the place where they do the urinalysis and you have to provide a urine sample. Someone's observing you, someone of the same sex giving the urine sample, so you don't, provide like a phony sample. And yeah, you have to do that within, I don't remember, like 2 hours you have to go provide the sample. And then they send those batches of urine to certified labs all over the United States. And anyway, I'm just explaining the process if you happen to not be in the military or if you are and you don't know how it works. But basically, yeah, she came up positive for marijuana. And she was discharged, after serving 3.5 years. And in her application, this is what she said. So I'm going to just tell you, she was successful in her application. She got a general discharge. She was an E4, so she wasn't an NCO yet. She got a general discharge and she requested a upgrade to an honorable discharge. And here's what she said in her application. First of all, she went to the VA afterwards and she then was service connected for a bunch of different mental health conditions, including she was diagnosed with schizophrenia. And all these conditions were actually service connected. They said she had that while she was in the service. So she wrote a personal statement and the board kind of summarized the things she said. She said how, she was very sorry. She didn't realize, she later realized she had all these mental health conditions. She later then got therapy and is doing better and would never act that way now. She apologized to the Army, to her recruiter. She said she accepts responsibility for her poor choices. She's a better person today and accepts responsibility for her actions and et cetera. And she said her discharge is kind of hindering her in moving forward. And she's very, so she wrote it like, it sounds like she wrote a really nice statement, taking responsibility. Any board where there's any mental health conditions or a physical condition, they put a medical officer, an MD on the board. Well, if it's like a physical, if it's a mental health issue, then it's either an MD or like someone trained in like a PhD in psychology. So there's always one on that board because that person has to interpret the medical records, but that person confirmed that she was, diagnosed with depressed adjustment disorder with depressed mood, cannabis abuse related disorders, and also she was service connected for psychosis, disorganized schizophrenia, and then the VA, it says, diagnosed her with schizophrenia. Yeah, so it's like, so she had this in-service behavioral health diagnosis. So basically, her discharge was upgraded because they determined she had these mental health issues, right? It said it's not just PTSD, it's any mental health issue. And she had a bunch of them and she didn't know what she had. So that was the reason, she made a poor choice and used marijuana. So they voted 5-0 to upgrade her discharge to an honorable discharge. They even changed the narrative reason from drug abuse to secretarial authority. She basically, was even homeless after she was discharged based on her mental health condition. Because there are a lot of veterans who, people who are homeless, it's because they have a lot of them, especially veterans, they have mental health conditions. So that's the gist of that. So it's really based on the Curta-Hagel memo. That's what gave her the ability to get the discharge, because they determined that her mental health condition was a nexus to her use of marijuana. So that's like a classic case of that. Yeah, I already told you the diagnosis. She had a bunch of different diagnoses. And, you know, in her application, just so you know, like she submitted the DU-293. She submitted a personal statement where she talked about all this stuff. Like, this is what happened to me after. I'm really sorry. You know, I'm now no longer would do anything like that. You know, use illegal drugs. She also submitted her medical records. Remember, when you're doing this, you have to submit substantiation. So she submitted her VA medical records and treatment that shows she had all these diagnoses, because that's really why she got upgraded. She probably wouldn't have got it upgraded otherwise, unless there were some other factors in the case. And in the write-up, they said it was, you know, basically it was based on her, you know, month of service, circumstances surrounding the discharge, diagnosis of OBH, other behavior health issues. That was the key in this case, basically. It's her her behavior health issues. She was like homeless after she got discharged, so probably connected again to her mental health condition. But then thank God she like joined some veterans groups and got treatment. And then when she was treated, she realized that's what she had. She didn't know. So they granted her that relief. They upgraded it to an honorable discharge. They gave her a character, a narrative reason of secretarial authority. And so this is one of those cases where they followed that guidance. And based on the fact that it was that one-time use of marijuana, that's what she was discharged for, and her mental health condition. Again, this is a case to show you it wasn't, you know, PTSD. You don't have to have been deployed to get your discharge upgraded. This was a case where it was a mental health condition that definitely, you know, she was not thinking right, et cetera, that enabled her to get the upgrade. So that was a good case to kind of show you that. Like, you know, I've talked a lot about these PTSD deployment cases, but it's not only that, it's any other mental health condition that had a nexus between your misconduct and the condition. So anyway, that was a really good case. Hope she's doing well. I mean, she still has to deal with all the issues, but she's getting help. And that's the main thing in any of these cases. You got to get help. And frankly, when you are in a, you know, suffering from a mental health condition, sometimes it's difficult to, like, that's, you know, for people to acknowledge that they need help. So I'm glad she did get help, you know, get hooked up with some veterans organizations. It's good. Like from other clients that I've talked to, it's really helpful if you join, you know, get help in these treatment where you're in group therapy, because then you could just kind of identify with the other people talking about what they're undergoing. It's always nice to know there's other people, you know, facing the same things you are, and not, you're not the only one. It's not nice that there's other people, of course, suffering, but you know what I mean? Like, you now have support and you can identify and, you know, kind of touch base and talk to others and say, yeah, I'm going through the same thing. So that was, I really encourage, if you are, you know, having mental, like, you really need to get help, try to get into support groups. There's lots of organizations, definitely so many, that help veterans and anyone. So I really encourage you to do that. All right. So now we're to our life matters portion of the podcast. And here's a quick one. It's kind of same, similar concepts I've talked about, and I might repeat myself. I'm sorry, but I don't remember what I've said in prior podcasts sometimes. So if not, this will be through osmosis. You'll get this. Here's another one, something that maybe I've told you in another way, but, you know, someone said, you know, when you're looking at a project that you have to undertake, does that, the thought of seeing that project on your calendar, energize or deplete you? You know, if it's like, wow, you're excited about the project, you could tell that, yep, this is something maybe you were meant to be doing. If it depletes you, like, oh my God, I can't believe that I have to do this, you know, maybe that shows you this is not something you want to undertake. Again, we're not talking if you're in a job and you have like certain assignments to do or like tasks, you can't just say, I'm not doing that. I'm talking about just other things, whether it's a hobby or some side project or anything, you know, just how does it make you feel, like that project, anything that energizes you, like just thinking about it or even while you're doing it, definitely that's a keeper. You got to do it. If it like depletes you, thinking about it, doing it, or after the fact, don't do it. Like even honestly, like if you do something you really enjoy, you not only are you energized while you're doing it, you're energized after. You even have more energy after. Whereas, you know, if it's something like not your line, not something for you, you're depleted thinking about it, you're depleted doing it, and you're depleted after. It's a great test. Just think about things you do day to day. And honestly, it's a really good, sometimes your body kind of tells you what you should be working on. I mean, it applies to people too. Like there are certain people that could energize you, and then there are certain people who deplete you. So that might be a good test of who to hang around with. So anyway, I hope that was helpful. I really enjoyed going over that case with you. I'm certainly hoping these are helpful for you. Please give me some feedback. Either send me an email if you're listening to this. Send me a question, like send me a little auto recording on the audio. The Anchor has like a little audio message app you could do, or just send me an email. Or if it's like, wow, this is like, yeah, you're giving me all this information, but what I really need to know is this. Like, ask me that. I'm trying to, from my viewpoint, give you things that I think would be helpful. But if there's something I'm missing, please let me know. And please share this link with other people that you know that might need it. Like, you know, not everyone knows about the podcast. And obviously there's, you know, it's a very small, it's a lot of, you know, military veterans who need this, but not a lot of people know about it. So yeah, please share it with people who you might know that might need to hear the information on here. Maybe it can help them. And also, if you don't mind, if you have time, do a little review on iTunes, because that will help spread the word more. The more people that review it and, you know, higher ratings, you know, give it like a little, please, like a 5-star review if you can. And also you can write something like if it's how it's been helpful to you. Anyway, that's it for today. As always, never, ever give up. There's always hope. And I definitely look forward to talking to you next time. Take care.